Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now see, when I read that, I happen to think, Lord, this bunch in Washington is there because you put them there. Did he?
Yes.
Yeah. Wonder why he put them there. He gave this nation what we need. Because see, everybody in this nation is not like the few of you that are in this room today. You know, you people in this room, you all love Jesus, or at least most of you do. I would like to believe that all of you love Jesus with all your heart, and you want to be an obedient son or daughter to God. And if you're not, that's where you need to be. That's what would please the King. But the whole United States is not here. They're not anywhere close to where we are. They don't walk with God. I mean, they have no problem. You know, when we talk about, we need to bring our boys home. We've lost 6,000 troops in Afghanistan in the last 10 years over there. We're all jumping up and down screaming because we lost 6,000 men in Afghanistan in 10 years. How many babies did we kill in the womb yesterday? How many? How many? At least 3,300 yesterday, just in the United States. And then today they'll kill, just because today's Sunday don't mean nothing, they'll kill another 3,300. Now, until so many of the abortion clinics went broke and Planned Parenthood is losing all this money, we were killing 4,000 a day. 4,000 babies a day that we knew of. That doesn't include the ones that you didn't know about. 4,000 babies died yesterday. 4,000 babies died today. Actually, right now, with the estimates, 3,300 yesterday and 3,300 today. 6,600 children, which were human beings, just like those 6,000 soldiers it took 10 years to lose. And we're all up in arms because we lost 6,000 men. Well, if I'd have been one of those, I wouldn't want to have been one of them either. I know. I went to war. I mean, of course, them boys over there, they're fighting for their country. They're striving to stay alive just like I was in Vietnam. You know, I didn't have a clue what was going on back in those days. Now I know a whole lot more about what's going on than I did then. Whole lot more. But, I mean, I think about those boys, especially if you happen to be a mother or father of one of those children. You know, my daddy, when they sent me to Vietnam, my dad, I don't know how much he prayed. My mother said, Daddy ain't never prayed as much as he did when I was in Vietnam. Because he just felt like that he would never see me again. When they sent me to Vietnam, my mother said, Dad, he cried. He said, I may never see my son again. But he did. I came home. We had a great life together all those years after that. We had lots of good fun together. But at least it got my daddy on his knees for his son. Now, you know, isn't that a shame? Some of us, if everything was going good all the time, your children are down the street, you know, and they got a nice car and your kids are good and your grandbabies are all good. You may not pray for them as much as you would if they're in some kind of a problem. Is that right?
Yes.
Adversity brings us to our knees. You know that? Unfortunately, we need to learn to pray. I pray often for my son and his children and grandchildren, my grandchildren and all that stuff. But I think I never prayed so much in my life as I did when Caitlin was in the hospital 10 years ago. I mean, for a month, I mean, it was me and God 24/7. I had a real need. But praise God, he brought her out of that. You know, now, I guess we need to spend more time with him all the time, don't you think? Now then, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, which is God, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Wow, this is scary. Verse 3 and 4. For rulers are not a terror to good works, most of them, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and you shall have praise of the same. Verse 4. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. Now this has a dual meaning here. If you go out and speed, you're doing evil. And If you're driving down the road 80 miles an hour out here on 35 and you pop over the hill and you all of a sudden you know you're driving too fast, but you hadn't looked at the speedometer lately, but all of a sudden you pass a deal and there sits a cop and you immediately, oh my gosh, I'm doing 80 miles an hour, and you slam on the brakes and do everything, it's already too late. He's already clocked you. Now, why is it you went into fear right then? Because you knew you were in sin. That's exactly right. Now, what if you'd have drove by that sign at 55? The speed limit's 60. You're driving 55 miles an hour. You go flying by there and look at that cop. You don't even, in fact, it never ceases to amaze me when I'm following somebody that is driving exactly the speed limit. Got their cruise control. We've been driving for 10 miles. I'm right behind them. Got mine set. We're staying 6, 8, 10 car lengths apart. And all of a sudden we go by somewhere and there's a cop sitting there and I see their brake lights come on and they stop and I just got to pull out to go around them. I thought, what's the problem? They were living in fear because they know they do break the law. So they was already under condemnation. Isn't that the way it works? I mean, if you're not breaking the law, you're driving the speed limit, just pull out and going around and say, wow, I wonder why he slowed down. But I know why. Because he was afraid of the power. He was afraid, although he was exactly right on the, and you know this guy that's driving 60 miles an hour because you've been following him for 10 miles. You know he's looked at the speedometer. You know he knows he ain't speeding. But yet he's going to slow down because he's afraid of the power. Now then, we're only afraid of the power when we get caught. But with God, you get caught every time you sin. I mean, you can't do anything that he doesn't know about it. So he says, do that which is good, and you shall have praise of the same. So if you do everything that's good, is the Lord going to do anything to you except bless you? That's what he's going to do. He's going to bless you. For he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. If you do that which is evil, you're going to be afraid on this earth and in the spirit world too. Because if you go out and do something wrong, it says, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. I don't know what they did, but I was, again, on the news last night when I was watching it. There was, I think it was an ex-mayor or something of Fort Worth or Dallas or somewhere. I didn't get enough. I wasn't paying enough attention, but I think they said it was an ex-mayor and his wife and a couple of other people that worked with him had gotten caught doing something that was wrong, and they were going to get, I think he was going to get 14 years and his wife was going to get 8 years in the pen. And was that Fort Worth? Okay. So you know about the case. Yeah, and it was two or three others. And then there was a lady there on the scene, and they asked her, what do you think about this? She said, well, I think maybe we've been a little too harsh on them, and the judgment was too much. We ought to be merciful and forgive them. Well, now, you know, if you forgive them for what they've done, they're all guilty. What's the next bunch you're going to put in office do? Oh, they ain't going to hesitate to do things wrong, right? Oh, man. I mean, look at what the ex-mayor did. Look what he got, and he got off scot-free. But if they think, wow, he went to jail for 14 years for that, I better straighten my act up. They're guilty. They're guilty. They need to be put in jail. They're stealing. So, like I say, if we don't have a power over us, and of course, the thing about it is the power over the people in the world system, all of us are raised up knowing this power. And so some of us, it keeps us straight. You know, we don't steal. We don't, when we're children, we don't go out and do things. I mean, I used to when I was a young boy. I mean, when I was a young boy, I was a mechanic. And if there's anything I love to do, my only major sin was driving fast. I love to go to the racetrack on Sunday afternoon and race them cars down that track. The faster they go, the more noise they made, the better I liked it. And of course, when the race was over, you know, I didn't know that I'd been taken off the racetrack. I had to drive home. So, hey, 80, 90 miles an hour, ain't no problem on a 60 mile an hour highway. You know, just let them go, pass them. Wild, stupid kid. If he had a brain, he'd tuck it out and played with it. You know, some of you boys, I hope none of you were like me, but guess what happened to me? Every once in a while, I'd look back and them little red and blue lights would be back there. Oh, another one of them dumb cops, you know. And so I'd have to stop, and he said, "What's your hurry, son?" Well, I wasn't in no hurry. He said, "Well, you were sure driving 80 miles an hour instead of 50. And so here, you have a ticket." And so I get tickets, and I get tickets, and I get tickets. And one day I got so many tickets, they finally said, "We don't think we're going to get through to you, although the tickets are getting bigger and the money's getting more. So what we're going to do is we're going to take your driver's license away from you and let you walk for 6 months. I mean, but how am I going to get to work? That's your problem. You should have thought about that before. They wasn't compassionate at all. I mean, you'd have thought surely they'd let me drive to work. No. And so I had to have mother take me. And when here I'm a mechanic, I can't even road test a car no more. You talk about intimidating. So anyway, I thought, okay, now I've been through this for 5 months. I only got 1 month left to go. One. And I'm going to get my driver's license back, and I ain't never going to do this again. And my uncle from West Texas didn't know this about me. So he called me one day and said, "Thurman, I'm not going to be able to get home for a couple of days. Would you go out and water my hogs and feed them for me tonight and tomorrow?" I said, "Uncle Leonard." He said, "No, Thurman, I know you'd be happy to do this for me." I said, "Okay, I'll do it." So I thought, I'm working for the Chevrolet house. We got a lot of used cars. You know, so I'll take one of the used cars out for a drive to road test it, and I'll put the headliner down, the deal down, and all this stuff, and nobody will be able to know who I am. So surely I can get up over the hill about 3 miles out of town and water and feed my uncle's hog, and then I'll drive back, put it back on the parking lot. Nobody will ever know I was gone. I start up that mountain, and when I turned out onto the highway, turn around that mountain, I met the county sheriff right there, and he's looking right in my car, immediately turned his lights on and come back. He saw me in that car. It cost me another 6 months on my driver's license. Plus a very stiff fine. So somebody said, "You know, you're a preacher, you must have been a good boy all your life." Well, I have had a few sins. Unfortunately, I have had a few. So if you think I ain't had any, I hate to bust your bubble today, but God can use a man that's had sin in his life. Because I had some. But I'll tell you what, I didn't drive anymore. I'll tell you for sure, until that year was over, I never got in a car for no reason, because I couldn't wait to start driving again. Whenever a man that loves to drive, he can't do nothing. Nothing. You can't go nowhere. I mean, you can't do nothing but stay at home and work. That's why I said, you know, when I was young, you know, if I'd have had a brain, I would have taken it out and played with it.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, "The Wrath of God is Coming," in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online, or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.